Hey, this has been a good morning. Thank you for that word, John. And I just love to hear the testimonies of people who, what is it about you? Don't you love to hear that? What is it? What you got going here? And, well, I have to put in my password, apparently. There we go. We're going to talk this morning about maintaining the flame. Maintaining the flame. I have a prayer, as I like to put into the, to kind of start us up. Can we look at the prayer? Can you think about this just for, well, just, you can say it. Well, let's read it together, okay? Say, Father God, in the life-giving name of Jesus, I ask that you would help me receive your love daily as the fire burning in my heart. As the days grow dark, may the light within me grow brighter and brighter as I draw near to you. I choose you over this world. I choose you instead of the cravings of the flesh. I choose you over the lies of the devil. I choose you. May my flame burn brightly. Amen. Is that your prayer today? If we pull it up there. From Paul's... let's go ahead and jump this. Paul, I was looking this up because we've been in the book of Acts. And by the way, Todd's been just doing the most brilliant job. We're going to start with the doctrine of the church, the teachings of the church, foundational. And I just felt the Lord draw my heart to the idea of us maintaining the flame and keeping our relationship with God alive, front burner stuff all the time. How many of you had gone through times where you... it's kind of dimmed out on you. So we want to live in a refreshed work of the Spirit of God, just as you're talking, to live our life where we have the flame burning brightly. Paul's moment of salvation was in A.D. 34, and his imprisonment and martyrdom was A.D. 66. So Paul served the Lord for 32 years. We don't really think about the length of that, but he loved the Lord. He maintained his passion for the Lord. In fact, 9 different times he exhorted in his letters that he wrote to follow him or imitate him as he imitated Christ. So he kept that alive, right? And he did not waver in his commitment to Christ, kept the flame in his heart. And so I want to show you the kind of things that he went through, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 33. I'm just going to read this. As he says, are they servants of Christ? Am I out of my mind to talk like this? I am more. I have worked harder, been in prison more frequently. This is his walk. This is stuff that would put the flame out, okay? I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I've beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, and danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country. In danger at sea, in danger from false believers. How many of you in the room feel like my light would have gone out a long time ago? I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. It says, if I boast, I boast of these things that show my weakness, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Artemis had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. I don't think we've all faced that. I know I haven't. If his flame would have been put out, it should have done it, right? Next slide. Paul is proof that the fire of man or circumstance has no power over the burning of the fire of God in our life. And Paul shares his passion. Again, I'm going to read a little passage here. His passion, and then after that, all the slides will be up there. But mind you, I'm reading. He's writing this next passage from a prison cell. And they were not even the Howard Johnsons. They were not the nice prisons that we have today. A lot of them were built right over the sewer. Philippians 3:3-14. For it is we who are the circumcision who have served God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I might myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, and as for zeal, persecuting the church, and for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Then this is what he says. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for Christ. Have you faced stuff like that? What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For those whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. And this is what he says. Now that I have already, not that I've already attained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. How many of you feel that way? See, I've gone too far to let go. You can't talk me out of my relationship with Jesus. I know too much. I've experienced, encountered, and know the Lord. It's all settled. Doesn't matter what's happening. There's no talking me out of it. And he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So living your life completely for Jesus is the way to keep the flame burning in your heart. Now, we are equating the fire of God inside of the believer with the passion that God himself puts within us. It is an impartation of the Holy Spirit's life. We are given the same fire, the Holy Spirit, as Paul received. And so the origin and purpose of the flame of God within us. Let's go ahead and just cover this real quick, and then I'll get up to the other things. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist declares this. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and everybody say, and fire. And fire. There's that flame and fire. Now, I usually don't think of the next verse, but the very next verse, Matthew 11:12, says, he's referring to Jesus. He says, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, he's just talking about putting fire in the believer. What in the world is this for? The next slide says this. The wheat represents our inner spirit, you know, the spirit of man, the inner spirit. But the chaff represents the outer man or the flesh. How many of you have gone through the winnowing? Where the things of your physical fleshly appetites begin to be challenged by the very fire of God that's in you. Am I the only one? You've had things that the Lord deal with. That's just what you're talking about, that the Lord deals with by his life in us. And so when did the flame arrive? The flame arrives in, by the way, this has never happened until, in the Old Testament, this wasn't there, even though there's symbolism and all that, which we'll get to, but this all happens when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Acts 2:2-4, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the fire of the Holy Spirit energizes us for service. Everybody say, yay, yay, and also yee. Say yay, say yee, and purifies us from evil stuff. So Thessalonians 5:19 says this, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. And I know at least four things. There's probably a whole bunch more. But at least four things that will quench the Spirit, quench the flame in your life. Has anybody taken a little pathway down these particular things? These are real snuff you out. Becoming offended and staying offended. Is that to pretty much snuff the flame out right there? Have everybody... We have prayer afterwards if you're stuck. No, I'm serious. We want to get rid of anything that hinders the flame. In fact, Jesus is so precious because he goes, I love that verse. I just love it. Verse, it says, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. If you're like a little, I know I was this way. I was like that little, have you ever been around a candle and it's just got this smoke? Just smoke. It's just annoying. What do? You go, you put it out, right? That's what we do, right? But if you're that little agitation in everybody's face, and I know I was, for years in my brokenness, I blamed my father. And it was just, gosh, man, when are you going to get a life? Just enough agitation, smoking, just always complaining about the bad things that have happened to me, living that life. There are people that said, when are you going to quit? Because of that, so much smoke in their eyes. But Jesus comes around and puts his hands around that little candle. His breath blows on that little wick. You're about to just go out, and that little flame gets that flame back. Smoke disappears. You begin to have light. How many of you have been helped with the Lord through being rekindled? Things that we can be rekindled from, having a disappointment, a bad disappointment, and then staying in that state of being disappointed, that'll snuff it out. But the Lord says, I want to rekindle that flame in you. Or here's one, being too busy and staying too busy. That's a burnout. People can actually put that on and think that they're going and going and going and just be hollow. Is that right? How about becoming materialistic and just being consumed by that? There's even a verse here that says, for what will it profit if a man gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man gain in return for his soul? So I want to throw another verse, a godly perspective. 1 Corinthians 4:16-18, we do not lose heart, though our outer self, everybody say outer self, is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, you know, all that stuff that Paul talked about, being beaten, he called it light momentary affliction, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I want to get this. Now, here's the thing. I want to invite you, as we invite the Holy Spirit to cleanse and purify our hearts from the desires of the flesh, the allure of the world and the temptations of the devil, then the fire will accomplish the purging in this life, and everybody get ready, and not have to be discovered later at the judgment seat of Christ. It's best to deal with it now. The fire is there to deal with it now. The fire is there to expose those areas and heal those areas and bring you into wholeness now. Is anybody like me happy that you've been moved from some of those blockages, hindrances, bondages, shackles, broken, that you don't have to cope into the judgment seat of Christ, living under the weight of those things, that Jesus will take care of that now? Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 13, 3 through 15. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed, there it is, by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. I want to say that I want to be a part of the solution in people's lives. I was talking recently with some folks that need some, you know, continued and deep ministry. And it made me go back to a time in my life, Heather remembers this, when I was, you know, the way they talk about it in the world is like, here's a dependent personality, and then you have another person that's like the codependent personality. One of them is more dependent on whatever addiction they're addicted to, and the other one is going along with that in life, in their life together, without getting too far in this. This is what I realized. When the Lord started dealing with me about the brokenness of my soul, I came to realize that because of the pain, I'd gotten into the habit that life was about me. And when I had to be healed and leave the damage, be healed of the damage, and start to grow out of the immaturity that the bondage held me in and the addiction held me in, leaving that was hard. So what did I do? I had to quit creating crisis that would bring all the attention back to me. Has anybody ever done that before? Am I the only person? So you create to get the attention back on you, there's that crisis. And the Lord showed me, he says, look, we're going to quit doing this now. He says, in your past, you knocked all the hurdles over, but I'm going to give you a vision of jumping the hurdles, and you're going to make it. And something changed in me, and I quit doing that. And it was hard, but I kept moving forward. So now I don't have to go to the judgment seat of Christ and face that, because he dealt with it here. Somebody say, how? So it's for me, yay for me. Hallelujah. So what is the, let's pause for a minute. Father God, I just thank you for the quickening work of your Holy Spirit as we come toward the end here. I ask that you would breathe a freshness into everybody's heart in the name of Jesus. I feel like breaking into a song here, but we'll just go ahead. What is the primary cause that the flame in your heart goes out? Ready? Everybody declare it. Not tending to it. Not tending to it. Not tending to it. So what are we doing? So there's this principle in the Old Testament of keeping the fire burning. How do you tend to the flame? Now, there's this great big, next slide. There's this big thing. I'm going to read this, if you can see it, but we're going to just deal with this real quick. The Lord spoke to Moses. This is Leviticus 1, 1 through 13. Command Aaron saying, and his son saying this. Everybody say, this is the law of the burnt offering. This is the law of the burnt offering. So this is the law. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth, on the altar, all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it.
Okay, there's the picture. There's the principle. The Old Testament. There's going to fire. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and put his linen undergarment on his body, and he shall take up the ashes. Everybody say, take up the ashes. To which the fire was reduced and the burnt offering on the altar, and then put them aside the altar. And then he take off those garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and shall arrange the burnt offering on it and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. The last verse, the fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. So we have this first notice, the keeper keeping the flame burning. This is the law. And there's these three statements. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth on the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. The fire of the altar shall keep burning on it. It shall not go out. Fire shall keep burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. So the overall theme of the sacrifices in the book of Leviticus point us to Jesus, our atoning sacrifice, who has reconciled us to Father God. Therefore, the continuous burning of the fire foreshadows the perpetual nature of God's grace and the forgiveness fully manifested in Christ. The fire symbolizes God's presence and holiness, signifying the never-ending nature of God's presence and our covenant and our constant need to approach Him with humility and reverence. Burning the wood daily represents our commitment and devotion. Next, how did they tend to the fire to keep it burning? And the priest shall put on a linen garment and put it. So we talked about that part. Let's jump down to. And here's a few points for us today in this law of the burnt offering that we may apply to our lives and keep the flame burning. May I suggest a bit of an analogy for us? Here we go. To keep the flame burning in your heart, remove the ashes. What if we looked at removing the ashes as cleansing our hearts and getting rid of what will suffocate the fire in our lives? Every day, have a sensitivity to this. Colossians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away. Remove the ashes along with all malice. Remove the ashes. Everybody say, remove the ashes. When we get up in the morning, if you're a priest, okay, what I'm not going to have, I'm not going to have ashes. I'm not going to have the stuff of yesterday, the clutter, the things that suffocate the flame. And then this next part says the priest shall burn the wood in the morning, shall arrange the burnt offering on it, the burning on it, the fat of the peace offerings. So the next slide says this, burn wood on it every morning. Now, what if we looked at that as this? What if we said, let the fresh wood, and looked at the fresh wood as something in our hearts from God's Word, as a fresh thought to meditate on? How many of you put another log where the Holy Spirit breathes life of the Word of God? If you want the flame to keep burning, you need to have something stoking your inner man and hearing His voice through His Word as you meditate on it. Somebody said yes, even though there were slumbery feeling and all this stuff, and it's an interesting atmosphere in here, and people want to go to sleep, but deep in the undercurrent of the Holy Spirit, God is speaking to us, and He's saying, rekindle the flame. Rekindle the flame. Stir up your inner being with the life-giving Word. And you go, yes, I've got to get all these ashes out of my life. I need to get ashes out of my life. I need to delight in the law of the Lord and on His law meditate day and night. I need to put a fresh log. I need to put the fresh wood of the fire of the Spirit. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord for a minute. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Because this is the way your flame doesn't go out. You can get so wrapped up in the thought processes of the world. Hello? If you sit down and scroll and just get into the world, get into the world, get into the world, your little flame, ooh. But if you take time to hear and meditate in the Lord, the flame begins to grow stronger and stronger in you. So number two, burn wood. Number three, arrange the burnt offering on it. What if we looked at arranging the burnt offering as presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God each morning? I didn't hear a hallelujah. I just thought somebody would go, just break forth. Oh, gosh, there's one. Hallelujah. Paul said this. He said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What if every day there was a determination inside of you to say, I present myself. Now, we've all heard the old joke. The only thing with the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. We've heard that before. But what if you lived your life and saying, I'm dedicating myself every day? Let me just tell you what happened. The flame will get brighter. The flame in your life and the representation of who Jesus is will glow up out of you because now you're dedicating your whole walk and your whole life to Him. And lastly, number four, burn on it the fat of the peace offering. What if we looked at burning the fat of the peace offering as engaging our hearts with the Holy Spirit and inviting His fresh anointing into our lives? How many of you say yes to that? It is the very presence of God that everything is about in the kingdom of God. Everything. You sit down, you're reading the Word. Without the Holy Spirit, it's words on a page. With the Holy Spirit and His presence, it's life-giving. You see it. You hear it. You open up to it. You're living in this engagement with the Holy Spirit. And here, I think this is marvelous because He tells Peter, 1 Peter 1:6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fan into flame. He's using the very words. Fan into flame, that gift. Let's go ahead and stand together. Hallelujah. Let's maintain our flame. Would you lift your hands up? If you would, please lift your hands up for a moment. There's a simple thing that you can do, and it's lifting your hands in the morning. To dedicate yourself to the Lord, if you'll just lift your hands up like this, just lift them before the Lord and present yourself to the Lord. It's that simple. In a moment, the Holy Spirit will put a witness in your heart that He receives this living sacrifice. He'll respond to you and you'll feel the delight of the Lord simply by lifting your hands with a spirit of gratitude before the Lord, saying, I give myself to you today. And you'll feel the flame begin to grow. You'll feel that life. And then you lift up a gratitude to let it come out of you. Say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's go ahead and praise you. Thank you, Lord, as we engage with the Holy Spirit's love and power in our life. We ask now. I feel like now, even right now, I feel like the Holy Spirit is going to help you sweep ashes out of your life. There's clutter that He wants to take care of. That He's just going to, just receive that. Because the Lord's attending to His Word. And the Holy Spirit comes. And He's giving you a fresh insight. Just by looking at an Old Testament passage, the law of the burnt offering. The Lord's saying, would you keep the flame burning inside as the darkness of the world around you increases? Will you be my light in the world? Will you be those who hear my heart who open to the movement of my spirit inside of you to touch and bring light to those around you. Let's go ahead and praise him. Say, thank you, Lord. I'll be that person. I'll be that person. Do not let the devil lie to you and say, well, I'm not that good at that. Tell him to shut up, because God has a pre-designed grace in your life to express Jesus like no other person. It might be your smile. It might be a sense of humor. It might be, there's something that God touches. It might be the way you serve, the way you talk. Something will be moved upon by the Holy Spirit to bring light to other people. Let's go ahead and just thank the Lord for the grace giftings in the room. Praise you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody has a place. Everybody has gifting. Everybody has the work of the Holy Spirit to manifest through their life. Everyone. Everyone. And it doesn't matter how down, broken, tormented, rebellious anyone is. I just want you to know, Jesus gave his life for them. And they need to hear that they're valuable to the Lord, regardless of the condition they're in. Because darkness can overtake people. Malevolent forces overwhelm people. Who in here remembers being bound and you couldn't stop it until Jesus freed you from the shackles of the bondage holding you back? And then when he did it, you were able to rise up and go where you couldn't go before. That's the faithfulness of the Lord. He wants our flame maintained, bright, shining. And I, for one, I'm not going to be put out. You're not going to snuff me out. I'm not going to be snuffed out. I could go through something. I could get a little dim, but I'm not going out. Can we just praise the Lord again? Thank you, Lord. We just ask your grace and flow of your anointed work in the lives of our hearts. I pray again, help us remove all the ashes, all the clutter, everything that would suffocate the flame. I pray for a fresh commitment and devotion to hear your heart, and that your word would be like a fresh fire burning in us, and that we commit ourselves completely over to you and give you thanks for where we're at right now in this time. And Lord, right now I ask for a fresh work of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If you need further prayer, come on down. If you want to receive the Lord, we're here. Love on each other. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.